Coping with Traumatic Brain Injury, One Woman's Journey from Death to Life. Written and read by Patty Foster.
Perspectives. Witnesses who observed the scene described the victim lying in the road as being in a fetal position with very obvious open and closed injuries. EMS and related professionals have been trained to recognize that patients found in this position, especially those who have been ejected out of a vehicle, have an extremely high mortality rate. Just being ejected usually means the patient has a massive head injury. Laura Mason, EMS trainer. It's a moment in time that seems to slow down as you say to yourself, and at times out loud, "Don't leave me. Hold on. You're going to make it." Maybe I think subconsciously that individual hears me. Robert Strickland, retired lieutenant, Texas Department of Public Safety. I remember the night so vividly. I just finished playing soccer and was going to meet friends later. Then Dad told me the news no one wants to hear. A few of your friends have been in a bad car wreck. One is Patty, who was rushed to the hospital, and the other is Heather. My body dropped onto a chair. Brooke Hicks, full-time mom. I found out about Patty's accident from my mother's friend, who heard about it from one of Patty's friends in Dallas. I was scared to go to the hospital and see Patty. I didn't know what to expect or what she would look like. Mary Thorpe Bentley, former product training specialist, Tyler Technology. I was getting stuff the emergency workers needed out of the bag and handing it to them. I didn't know it was Heather we were working on. Later on, though, after we were finishing up, I read her name and Patty's name on a piece of paper. That's when it all stopped for me. I didn't want to do that again. When you don't know the person you're working on, it's okay. I can handle that. But when you know them, that's different. I didn't want to be a paramedic anymore. Now I stay at the back and direct traffic for them. I'm fine with that. The wreck in Bullard stopped it for me. I couldn't handle it. Matt Berry, former paramedic trainee, TBI survivor. You don't know who I am, Patty. I'm Jim, the medic on your flight. I'm also the operations manager of Air One. If I can help you, if you need me for anything, don't hesitate to call me. Just call up the hospital. They'll get you in touch with me. Jem Spire, flight medic, Air One helicopter. The night of the crash, I joined the rest of the women from Patty's Bible study at the hospital. After a few hours of waiting, I went outside and called my husband. I just needed to let out all the worries and fears that were on my mind. Finally, a doctor came and took Patty's parents to the back. She would be undergoing brain surgery that night. The look on their faces told me how worried they were. The hospital staff said it was a very serious surgery, and we needed to pray Patty would make it through. I gathered my belongings and, along with the other Bible study girls, headed upstairs to continue waiting. Little did we know we would spend the rest of the summer hanging out at ETMC Hospital. Sarah Jane Walker, school counselor. We realized if she survived the wreck, physically, she may still end up in a vegetative state, alive but not really living. We prayed specifically every night for Patty and the other girls, and for the family of the young lady who did not survive. Jillian Sheridan, TV news anchor. I was told Patty had been ejected from the vehicle. Anytime I hear the word ejection where a wreck is involved, it adds an extra sense of concern. I knew Patty had a strong Christian faith, and that added even more mystery to why this happened. I think many times in life, we ask ourselves why bad things happen to such good people. But her faith hasn't been shaken by this ordeal, and she's a living example of one of God's miracles. James Sheridan, bank executive. She couldn't hold the spoon at all, and she could barely open her mouth. I think they were giving her oatmeal. I remember she said it was good, and when Judy would give her a drink, she tried to touch her hands to the glass. It was all she could do to open her mouth and swallow it. It was such a shock to us, because she had always been our sunshine. Virginia Aunt Jenny Foster. We thought we knew what to expect, but we didn't. She had not been able to verbally communicate with us and Tyler. Amy and I had our backs to the door when Patty was wheeled in from therapy. Patty asked the attendant, "Who are those people?" He replied, "I don't know. Can I talk to them?" Again he said, "I don't know." At this time, we turned around and said, "Hi, Patty." She said, "I know you, but I don't know your names." Annette Straubing, second grade teacher, and Amy McMath, third grade teacher. Patty's first time to stay anywhere other than at Pate or her parents' house was the weekend she spent with us. Before we left, the staff gave us all the meds she was to take, plus several cans of Ensure. She stood by quietly as they told us about her medication. She said nothing until we got in the Suburban. Then she let us know what she thought about Ensure, saying, "I don't like that stuff. That stuff is nasty." We were nice and didn't make her drink it. James Bentley, IT Manager, Stonebriar Community Church. The most enjoyable classes we had at Pate were when we get to walk outside with a group each day. Things would change. Everybody would loosen up and relax and have a good time. It was a good ending to some tough days. Kylie Bogus, recovering TBI survivor. I thoroughly enjoyed our call with Patty. The last thing she said before we hung up was a challenge I planned to put into practice. We must let our lives talk way more than our mouths. Andrew Morgan, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Her positive outlook on life and strong will to conquer what doctors told her were impossible tasks are truly an inspiration for all. I found it helpful to talk to her about what pastors can do during a tragedy similar to hers. Christina Richards, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Well, what amazed me was this. She had lost everything, but her core led her to hunger for God's Word. Everything had been taken away and she didn't understand anything, but her body, heart, and soul knew she had to have it. She hungered for His Word. Her physical abilities had been taken away, but her spiritual side was alive. Judy Rivers, physical therapist, Triangle Therapeutics. Patty is truly an inspiration. In my own walk, I have found people who have been through the greatest faith tests have the greatest testimony, and Patty is no exception. It is hard to imagine all she had to go through in her rehabilitation. I take so much for granted. Dale Pfeffercorn, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Patty placed a great deal of emphasis on making sure the families of traumatic brain injury survivors were cared for as well. She taught me it's important, as pastoral staff, to see that the family is fed emotionally and spiritually during this time. Patty Foster's story is an example that God can be glorified in any situation, even if it's a result of terrible circumstances. Her testimony, her heart, and her work are truly incredible. Philip Larson, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Looking back, I see how God worked through this whole situation, through every detail. I remember saying in an interview once, this wasn't just about one or two people. Many lives were touched by this tragedy. Hopefully, they will see the good from it and not focus on the bad, and use everyday situations to share the love of the one true God. Emily Gray, elementary teacher and crash survivor. EMS trainer. It's a moment in time that seems to slow down as you say to yourself, and at times out loud, "Don't leave me. Hold on. You're going to make it." Maybe I think subconsciously that individual hears me. Robert Strickland, retired lieutenant, Texas Department of Public Safety. I remember the night so vividly. I just finished playing soccer and was going to meet friends later. Then Dad told me the news no one wants to hear. A few of your friends have been in a bad car wreck. One is Patty, who was rushed to the hospital, and the other is Heather. my body dropped onto a chair. Brooke Hicks, full-time mom. I found out about Patty's accident from my mother's friend, who heard about it from one of Patty's friends in Dallas. I was scared to go to the hospital and see Patty. I didn't know what to expect or what she would look like. Mary Thorpe Bentley, former product training specialist, Tyler Technology. I was getting stuff the emergency workers needed out of the bag and handing it to them. I didn't know it was Heather we were working on. Later on, though, after we were finishing up, I read her name and Patty's name on a piece of paper. That's when it all stopped for me. I didn't want to do that again. When you don't know the person you're working on, it's okay. I can handle that. But when you know them, that's different. I didn't want to be a paramedic anymore. Now I stay at the back and direct traffic for them. I'm fine with that. The wreck in Bullard stopped it for me. I couldn't handle it. Matt Berry, former paramedic trainee, TBI survivor. You don't know who I am, Patty. I'm Jim, the medic on your flight. I'm also the operations manager of Air One. If I can help you, if you need me for anything, don't hesitate to call me. Just call up the hospital. They'll get you in touch with me. Jim Spire, flight medic, Air One helicopter. The night of the crash, I joined the rest of the women from Patty's Bible study at the hospital. After a few hours of waiting, I went outside and called my husband. I just needed to let out all the worries and fears that were on my mind. Finally, a doctor came and took Patty's parents to the back. She would be undergoing brain surgery that night. The look on their faces told me how worried they were. The hospital staff said it was a very serious surgery, and we needed to pray Patty would make it through. I gathered my belongings and, along with the other Bible study girls, headed upstairs to continue waiting. Little did we know we would spend the rest of the summer hanging out at ETMC Hospital. Sarah Jane Walker, school counselor. We realized if she survived the wreck, physically, she may still end up in a vegetative state, alive but not really living. We prayed specifically every night for Patty and the other girls, and for the family of the young lady who did not survive. Jillian Sheridan, TV news anchor. I was told Patty had been ejected from the vehicle. Anytime I hear the word ejection where a wreck is involved, it adds an extra sense of concern. I knew Patty had a strong Christian faith, and that added even more mystery to why this happened. I think many times in life, we ask ourselves why bad things happen to such good people. But her faith hasn't been shaken by this ordeal, and she's a living example of one of God's miracles. James Sheridan, bank executive. She couldn't hold the spoon at all, and she could barely open her mouth. I think they were giving her oatmeal. I remember she said it was good, and when Judy would give her a drink, she tried to touch her hands to the glass. It was all she could do to open her mouth and swallow it. It was such a shock to us because she had always been our sunshine. Virginia, Aunt Jenny Foster. We thought we knew what to expect, but we didn't. She had not been able to verbally communicate with us and Tyler. Amy and I had our backs to the door when Patty was wheeled in from therapy. Patty asked the attendant, "Who are those people?" He replied, "I don't know. Can I talk to them?" Again he said, "I don't know." At this time, we turned around and said, "Hi, Patty." She said, "I know you, but I don't know your names." Annette Straubing, second grade teacher, and Amy McMath, third grade teacher. Patty's first time to stay anywhere other than at Pate or her parents' house was the weekend she spent with us. Before we left, the staff gave us all the meds she was to take, plus several cans of Ensure. She stood by quietly as they told us about her medication. She said nothing, until we got in the Suburban. Then she let us know what she thought about Ensure, saying, "I don't like that stuff. That stuff is nasty." We were nice and didn't make her drink it. James Bentley, IT manager, Stonebriar Community Church. The most enjoyable classes we had at Pate were when we get to walk outside with a group each day. things would change. Everybody would loosen up and relax and have a good time. It was a good ending to some tough days. Kylie Boggess, recovering TBI survivor. I thoroughly enjoyed our call with Patty. The last thing she said before we hung up was a challenge I plan to put into practice. We must let our lives talk way more than our mouths. Andrew Morgan, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Her positive outlook on life and strong will to conquer what doctors told her were impossible tasks are truly an inspiration for all. I found it helpful to talk to her about what pastors can do during a tragedy similar to hers. Christina Richards, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Well, what amazed me was this. She had lost everything, but her core led her to hunger for God's Word. Everything had been taken away and she didn't understand anything, but her body, heart, and soul knew she had to have it. She hungered for His Word. Her physical abilities had been taken away, but her spiritual side was alive. Judy Rivers, physical therapist, Triangle Therapeutics. Patty is truly an inspiration. In my own walk, I have found people who have been through the greatest faith tests have the greatest testimony, and Patty is no exception. It is hard to imagine all she had to go through in her rehabilitation. I take so much for granted. Dale Pfeffercorn, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Patty placed a great deal of emphasis on making sure the families of traumatic brain injury survivors were cared for as well. She taught me it's important, as pastoral staff, to see that the family is fed emotionally and spiritually during this time. Patty Foster's story is an example that God can be glorified in any situation, even if it's a result of terrible circumstances. Her testimony, her heart, and her work are truly incredible. Philip Larson, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Looking back, I see how God worked through this whole situation, through every detail. I remember saying in an interview once, this wasn't just about one or two people. Many lives were touched by this tragedy. Hopefully, they will see the good from it and not focus on the bad, and use everyday situations to share the love of the one true God. Emily Gray, elementary teacher and crash survivor. EMS trainer. It's a moment in time that seems to slow down as you say to yourself, and at times out loud, don't leave me. Hold on. You're going to make it. Maybe I think subconsciously that individual hears me. Robert Strickland, retired lieutenant, Texas Department of Public Safety. I remember the night so vividly. I just finished playing soccer and was going to meet friends later. Then Dad told me the news no one wants to hear. A few of your friends have been in a bad car wreck. One is Patty, who was rushed to the hospital, and the other is Heather. My body dropped onto a chair. Brooke Hicks, full-time mom. I found out about Patty's accident from my mother's friend, who heard about it from one of Patty's friends in Dallas. I was scared to go to the hospital and see Patty. I didn't know what to expect or what she would look like. Mary Thorpe Bentley, former product training specialist, Tyler Technology. I was getting stuff the emergency workers needed out of the bag and handing it to them. I didn't know it was Heather we were working on. Later on, though, after we were finishing up, I read her name and Patty's name on a piece of paper. That's when it all stopped for me. I didn't want to do that again. When you don't know the person you're working on, it's okay. I can handle that. But when you know them, that's different. I didn't want to be a paramedic anymore. Now I stay at the back and direct traffic for them. I'm fine with that. The wreck in Bullard stopped it for me. I couldn't handle it. Matt Berry, former paramedic trainee, TBI survivor. You don't know who I am, Patty. I'm Jim, the medic on your flight. I'm also the operations manager of Air One. If I can help you, if you need me for anything, don't hesitate to call me. Just call up the hospital. They'll get you in touch with me. Jem Spire, flight medic, Air One helicopter. The night of the crash, I joined the rest of the women from Patty's Bible study at the hospital. After a few hours of waiting, I went outside and called my husband. I just needed to let out all the worries and fears that were on my mind. Finally, a doctor came and took Patty's parents to the back. She would be undergoing brain surgery that night. The look on their faces told me how worried they were. The hospital staff said it was a very serious surgery, and we needed to pray Patty would make it through. I gathered my belongings and, along with the other Bible study girls, headed upstairs to continue waiting. Little did we know we would spend the rest of the summer hanging out at ETMC Hospital. Sarah Jane Walker, school counselor. We realized if she survived the wreck, physically, she may still end up in a vegetative state, alive but not really living. We prayed specifically every night for Patty and the other girls, and for the family of the young lady who did not survive. Jillian Sheridan, TV news anchor. I was told Patty had been ejected from the vehicle. Anytime I hear the word ejection where a wreck is involved, it adds an extra sense of concern. I knew Patty had a strong Christian faith, and that added even more mystery to why this happened. I think many times in life, we ask ourselves why bad things happen to such good people. But her faith hasn't been shaken by this ordeal, and she's a living example of one of God's miracles. James Sheridan, bank executive. She couldn't hold the spoon at all, and she could barely open her mouth. I think they were giving her oatmeal. I remember she said it was good, and when Judy would give her a drink, she tried to touch her hands to the glass. It was all she could do to open her mouth and swallow it. It was such a shock to us because she had always been our sunshine. Virginia, Aunt Jenny Foster. We thought we knew what to expect, but we didn't. She had not been able to verbally communicate with us and Tyler. Amy and I had our backs to the door when Patty was wheeled in from therapy. Patty asked the attendant, "Who are those people?" He replied, "I don't know. Can I talk to them?" Again he said, "I don't know." At this time, we turned around and said, "Hi, Patty." She said, "I know you, but I don't know your names." Annette Straubing, second grade teacher, and Amy McMath, third grade teacher. Patty's first time to stay anywhere other than at Pate or her parents' house was the weekend she spent with us. Before we left, the staff gave us all the meds she was to take, plus several cans of Ensure. She stood by quietly as they told us about her medication. She said nothing until we got in the Suburban. Then she let us know what she thought about Ensure, saying, "I don't like that stuff. That stuff is nasty." We were nice and didn't make her drink it. James Bentley, IT manager, Stonebriar Community Church. The most enjoyable classes we had at Pate were when we get to walk outside with a group each day. Things would change. Everybody would loosen up and relax and have a good time. It was a good ending to some tough days. Kylie Bogus, recovering TBI survivor. I thoroughly enjoyed our call with Patty. The last thing she said before we hung up was a challenge I planned to put into practice. We must let our lives talk way more than our mouths. Andrew Morgan, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Her positive outlook on life and strong will to conquer what doctors told her were impossible tasks are truly an inspiration for all. I found it helpful to talk to her about what pastors can do during a tragedy similar to hers. Christina Richards, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Well, what amazed me was this. She had lost everything, but her core led her to hunger for God's Word. Everything had been taken away and she didn't understand anything, but her body, heart, and soul knew she had to have it. She hungered for His Word. Her physical abilities had been taken away, but her spiritual side was alive. Judy Rivers, physical therapist, Triangle Therapeutics. Patty is truly an inspiration. In my own walk, I have found people who have been through the greatest faith tests have the greatest testimony, and Patty is no exception. It is hard to imagine all she had to go through in her rehabilitation. I take so much for granted. Dale Pfefferkorn, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Patty placed a great deal of emphasis on making sure that families of traumatic brain injury survivors were cared for as well. She taught me it's important, as pastoral staff, to see that the family is fed emotionally and spiritually during this time. Patty Foster's story is an example that God can be glorified in any situation, even if it's a result of terrible circumstances. Her testimony, her heart, and her work are truly incredible. Philip Larson, B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary student. Looking back, I see how God worked through this whole situation, through every detail. I remember saying in an interview once, this wasn't just about one or two people. Many lives were touched by this tragedy. Hopefully, they will see the good from it and not focus on the bad, and use everyday situations to share the love of the one true God. Emily Gray, elementary teacher and crash survivor.